Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the InfoWars Nightly News. Today is Monday, July 9th, 2012. I'm your host, Aaron Dykes.
Tonight, the war on home Bible studies and house churches is heating up as a man in Phoenix, Arizona gets sentenced to 60 days in prison and a $12,000 fine for hosting a Bible study in his home. Then, Monsanto launches a massive campaign to stop GMO labeling. And a Forbes op-ed voices opposition to the gun-grabbing UN treaty. All that plus more up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Tonight up in news, it's another order for more control in a time of crisis. Specifically, Obama, the man known as president, has issued another executive order seeking control over communications during a crisis, updating existing orders, updating his own previous orders during his term, and following up directly on the report that came out just 2 weeks ago that DHS would issue cell phone presidential alerts over mobile phones mandatorily on all carriers. So Obama issued this executive order last Friday, July 6th, just in time for the weekend here, and it's just strengthening this miles and miles of bureaucracy surrounding the takeover system, surrounding the, quote, national security and emergency preparedness of the government under the continuity of government. That's the only leg they have to stand on, so it's the only thing they have to strengthen. None of this is in the Constitution. None of this is balanced on congressional or judicial power. This is all about the executive branch always taking over. And no, it's not about Obama the man. It's about the presidency getting too big for its britches over the years and never looking back. And so you've got things like the resilience of the architecture, redundant communications, ensuring that the president and the executive branch could stay in contact with all other entities of government and society in the instance of an emergency, including special preparations for the Secretary of Defense and Homeland Security to make sure all these things are implemented, very rigid and redundant, as I said. But it also includes the ability to satisfy the priority of communication requirements through the use of commercial, government, and privately owned communications resources. This is a takeover, again, not just of government communications, but of privately established communications. That's why they're doing the cell phone alerts. That's why they've strengthened, just in this last year, the EAS, Emergency Alert System takeover, forced all the radio stations to deal with it. And they even have a clause in here, not only about the Joint Industry Government Center, yes, a private-public partnership, but the activation or deactivation or closing of radio stations. And I checked, this is in previous legislation going back at least to the 80s, but in the event of an emergency, the government will not only take over communications, but potentially shut down voices you may be quite familiar with hearing. That could be what so-called right-wing talk radio. Could be Alex Jones. It could be any of us on the web. So let's look out for the power that's being handed down through communications for the federal government to take over in a, quote, emergency, which is increasingly defined as almost anything. Alex has been covering this for years. Let's go to a key video he issued on the emergency alerts takeover system right now.
This is a test of the emergency alert system.
Executive Order 10,995 allows the government to seize and control the communication media.
Our nation is at war against a far-reaching network of violence and hatred. Training camps have been struck, leaders eliminated, plots disrupted. And all those involved in the attempted act of terrorism must know you too will be held to account.
Think about it. 15 years ago, we allowed the federal government to hardwire emergency takeover systems of all major communications and media in the United States. Now the federal government's coming out in the open and admitting what was already in their internal documents, that they're going to begin having federal break-ins over local news.
If this had been an actual alert, this message would contain specific information on the watch or warning being issued.
Well, it's really happening. Bonafide tyranny is coming to our shores. If you look at Egypt, you've witnessed how the government has seized control of the TV and radio stations. But in the United States, the federal government doesn't need to do that. Because under changes in FCC regulations over television and radio, in 1996, EAS emergency systems are put in at the radio or TV towers. They're also put in at the national and local cable systems, where the federal government puts a box in at the transmission tower where they can flip a switch and shortwave towers nationwide take over those computers and put out an audio signal of whatever message they want. I am a radio broadcaster. And I remember 15 years ago when this change was made, watching the engineer at the radio station where I worked and the station manager literally freaking out. They were sent documents that the FCC said were restricted, but I was allowed to look at them and I was allowed to videotape them. And I put it in my 1999 film, Police State 2000.
Well, my friends, you're looking at a FEMA control box. That's right, at 98.9 KJFK-FM where I work in Austin, Texas. That, my friends, can take over the radio station. It is radio controlled by a FEMA tower. That's right, a FEMA tower in New Braunfels, Texas. It covers almost all of the central part of the state of Texas. Little teletypes come printing out of the side of the machine weekly and update us. In the past, it was voluntary. Now it's mandatory, and they can remote control take over the station.
And in those, they told them that in the near future, the federal government would routinely seize control of their broadcast system, not during a plague or a nuclear attack or a war, but that they would seize control for routine announcements. So it was put in place, but it wasn't implemented. Now, President Barack Obama, through the FCC, has announced today that they are going to begin testing and implementing national announcements with the president giving messages to the public.
Everybody has heard the National Emergency Alert System. Radio and TV stations regularly test it to make sure the public is notified in times of peril. Well, that system is overseen by the FCC. And now the agency wants to upgrade it by having presidential announcements feed into the alert system. It's also looking at how wireless broadband could also enhance EAS.
But it gets worse. 8 years ago, I was not doing my radio show out of the studio. I was doing it out of a local talk station. I didn't have my own studio then. They got new communiques from the FCC telling them that they should prepare in the near future for multiple hours per day of federal break-ins over the local AM station. And the same systems in the cable systems, broadcast TV, talk radio, you name it. And I went to the station manager. And I said, please come on my show, talk about this. And he said, no, I showed you this stuff in confidence. You're not allowed to talk about it. You can say you heard about it, but not where. Now, since then, I've done shows out of another big talk station here in town. I've been a guest in many stations around the country, over 80 stations now that pick up my syndicated radio show. And in the last week, I have talked to station owners and managers who are now getting internal communiques from the FCC, and they're told it's national security, that they're not allowed to talk about it, but that there are going to be more and more government break-ins over radio and TV. Now, I got that news, but was trying to figure out what to do with it when today the big announcement comes out, and the FCC Obama spokesperson lady says, oh, this is no big deal. We've always had this in place. We're now just going to implement it. Well, I guess that's true. There are executive orders to seize all transportation. There are executive orders to put every American into forced labor brigades. There are executive orders to take over all the media under nuclear attack, under continuity of government. The point is now Obama is beginning to implement this. Before 1996, you had one local station that under an emergency situation would broadcast the EAS alert. Other stations would tune to that station and carry those emergency alerts. No country in the world, not communist Russia back during the Soviet Union pre-1991, not Ceausescu's Romania, none of them had actual boxes in the radio and TV stations that would take over the entire transmission. These are wired in under regulations to the broadcast towers and at the studios. Everything by law, and I've watched the engineers complain and bitch and moan for years, has to be wired through these, and it causes all sorts of problems. They have to do weekly checks randomly where the federal government tests the takeover of the station to make sure it's in place. This is happening in America right as we go into a depression, right as foreign banks loot our country, right as they try to start new wars in the Middle East. Do you see what's happening? But it gets worse. FEMA began to put out press releases last year saying, you know what? We're going to have digital license plates across the country that have most wanted videos popping up. It'll be an LCD screen. And we're going to give you government announcements over those. You know those billboards we put up for Amber Alerts with kidnapped little kids? Now it's going to be report illegal guns, report terrorism. They're putting in these giant telescreens at these 9,000 locations, Walmarts, malls, you name it, saying, don't trust other shoppers. Don't trust your neighbors. Only trust Big Brother. Only trust the government. Napolitano comes and inserts herself at the Super Bowl, has the TSA running checkpoints with local trained goons actually doing frisk and feeling people up. We're going into bondage. And now, in the midst of the accelerating global financial meltdown, the White House announces and says, oh, it's no big deal. We've had this on the books for years. Yeah, martial law plans for years. We're going to start testing the voice of Obama, breaking in on the media. And they're announcing that Xbox video games and other systems are going to have government announcements that pop up. Cass Sunstein, the regulations czar, has said that they want pop-ups on websites they don't agree with government messages. Google's already testing this where it tells you, ooh, look out, going to this site. This information's been proven to be wrong. The internet kill switch, the cybersecurity takeover, it's all happening. They've got new FCC rules where all the alarm clocks and televisions have to have hardwired chips in them so they can fire your television or radio up and make you hear announcements in the middle of the night. They've also announced in this new press release that, oh, the FCC and the federal government are going to put in free national broadband that we pay for as taxpayers, but it's going to be under our filtered rules. In the free broadband in Europe at the bus and train stations, guess whose websites are censored? Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. What did Google announce 2 weeks ago? That they're going to start censoring and blocking out from their searches content farms like the Drudge Report and Infowars.com. That is sites that aggregate news and make comments on news. This is a full spectrum takeover of the media in our country. This is an attack on free speech. This is literal government messages on digital billboards, at checkout counters, on your license plate, on your cell phone, on your pop-up video games. This is the federal government coming in and forcing their messages directly into the media because the population doesn't buy into their propaganda anymore. There has been a continuity of agenda. This has been going on for decades. They've been setting the system up. But now they're rolling it out. And that's the message here. What does it say about our society? This is unbelievable. This is the Fairness Doctrine 2.0. This is authoritarian censorship by way of government break-ins with announcements. No country's ever done this. This is beyond 1984. And it's really happening. Do people realize the magnitude of this? And in America, supposed land of freedom, I'm getting frantic calls from station owners and managers as they're being told to get ready for all this to happen in the last few weeks. And going back 8 years ago and going back 15 years ago, when I get these documents, as they put this system in place, the station owners are afraid to speak out. The station managers are afraid to speak out. Why? Why? We need to say no. This is a free market, free private property society. In the name of security, the government is hardwiring everything so they can take it over? Egypt, anybody? This is worse than what happened in Egypt. That's what Mubarak did. But he didn't have it hardwired. He physically had the army go take it over. This is as plain as the nose on my face. This is brazen, naked, hardcore, scary tyranny. And when I saw them announce this, even though I knew it was coming for all these years, it shook me to my very core, and it should shake you. When they put tyranny in place, they can take the pension funds, the veterans' death benefits, that's already begun. They can jack up taxes. They can shut down newspapers, TV, radio. The last time this happened was during the Civil War. Lincoln did similar things, arresting scores of newspaper owners and editors. This is here. The globalists have committed so many crimes. They know they're unpopular with the people. They know Congress has an 11% approval rating, and so they are moving with the system to force their propaganda onto all private media in this country. And it's going to start with little short announcements, and it's going to move until huge blocks of programming are openly taken over by the government. If we don't have free speech in the First Amendment and a free press in this country, we have nothing. The Internet has been a wonderful tool to enlighten and inform and awaken the masses. But it's also a double-edged sword created by DARPA. Electronics, computer chips are so cheap, everything is being wired for the federal takeover. This is announced. This is a fact. We are entering a time when you're not going to be able to access InfoWars.com and other alternative sites. We're already being blocked all over the world. They've already got the system in place, and that's scary enough. But if they send up this trial balloon and we go along with it, they are going to implement the full takeover of the media. Whether you're liberal, conservative, libertarian, communist, socialist, it doesn't matter. Atheist, Christian, all media is under attack. We must come together and resist this. We must say no to this. This is a major canary in the coal mine. This is a full spectrum takeover of the media. Let's not let them pull that switch. Get the word out to everybody. I have been having chills for 3 hours since this announcement came out. I knew the hammer was going to drop, but this is so incredible. We've got to hang together for the First Amendment, or we're surely going to hang separate. Thank you. The rest is up to you. Please spread the word. It is now time for radio and TV station owners to stand up to this corruption, to this police state takeover of the First Amendment and private property, and let the system know they are not going to put up with the federal government's takeover of our media system. Enough is enough.
All right, so that's Alex's detailed breakdown of the emergency alert systems. But again, this communication takeover could happen any time. You could be walking around with your cell phone, so that's why DHS will cut in at any time with important messages from Der Fuhrer president. But you could also be driving when an emergency happens. So we wanted to show you what it would look like in a real emergency situation takeover. We have some footage of that right now. Oh, actually, it's someone who hijacked one of those signs and demanded to impeach Obama. Now, there's a real emergency issue. Apparently, someone hacked into these traffic signs that display messages, road warnings to travelers in Anchorage sometime last Wednesday night, and they were not changed in the area till around 6 a.m., 8 a.m. the next morning. And that's a very interesting way to get an emergency message out. It's just part of the larger effort we've been trying to get people to spread the word about how Obama's become a dictator by using too much executive authority, and how other presidents who will succeed him, whether it's Romney or Bush the Third or whatever, will definitely keep using those powers and turn themselves into what we would only now recognize as a dictator if we were still grounded to the Constitution, to an ordinary government by the people, because this stuff has gotten out of control. Now, with that said, we've got liberty lovers upholding the First Amendment, phase two of the Stop Obama Dictator Contest entries. We're going to show you a whole bunch of those entries when we go to break here in a couple minutes. They're great. They're going to keep rolling in, and we've extended the deadline to Friday, July 13th at midnight. So send your contest entries in, contest@InfoWars.com. But don't give up yet. We want to see the competition get worse and worse. No, we're not asking anyone to break any laws. But at the same time, the hour's late, and we really need to get the word out about this. Even more incredible, probably should have been our breaking story, 60 days in prison and a $12,000 fine for hosting a Bible study in someone's home. Well, it happened in Phoenix. It's also happened across the country, by the way. Mike Salmon was found guilty of 67 code violations for having 15 to 20 people meet at his house, apparently on a regular basis, to read the Bible and discuss it and talk about religious things. Well, they're acting as if he's running a church without having the proper codes, without having the proper clearances, the proper city official documents. And yet Congress shall make no law regarding an establishment of religion or the practice thereof. People have a right to assemble for any reason. And somehow there's these code enforcements being implemented on the local, county, and city level. It's absurd. The Constitution applies top down in terms of the Bill of Rights. Yes, there's a separation of powers for the federal government, but the 14th Amendment has been applied to protect those Bill of Rights for everyone. And so it's not a two-way street. You have a right to freedom of religion, but they've circumvented that right by using code enforcement to shut down what really is a right into some kind of privilege. They don't care if you watch football games, have 10, 20, 50 people over. You can even have block parties in many cases in many official areas in little cities, but you can't have a backyard Bible study. And they say he just kept doing it, so he's going to jail for 2 months, and they're seeking 2.5 years of jail time because of his obstinance, because of his continuing the whole Bible studies in the face of these grave code violations. Well, it's all backwards. These codes are really shutting down independence of all kinds. They're shutting down people for growing gardens, shutting down people trying to get off the grids. That's in this article by Michael Snyder of The American Dream. They get into this whole thing of how codes are taking over our way of life, and it's really time to rein it in. If this doesn't hit home, if this isn't one of those first they came for the Christians, then they came for everybody, I don't know what it is. I mean, it's just over the top. Now you can't basically read in your own home. Not with more than three people, they say. A gathering of more than three people. It's hard to believe, but there it is. There it is on page. Meanwhile, in Maine, Governor LePage has called the IRS a new Gestapo. He's blasting the health care law and the IRS's role in implementing Obamacare, taxing and collecting fines for those who don't enroll properly, and uses these terrible terms like Gestapo. You can't talk about Nazis. You can't talk about how the American system's being degraded and we're becoming more and more of a collectivist society, just as the Nazis were one part and parcel of. No, you can't say that, says the Maine Democratic Party chairman Ben Grant, who said, "We've come a long way and we've expect a bunch of nonsense from LePage, but this is a step too far. There appears now to be no limit to the extreme language he will use to misinform and insult people. He demands a full apology for daring to invoke the name of Gestapo because of the real victims of the Gestapo. But let's not stop our own country from slowly fading away and really rapidly fading away into a similar system." Well, the governor, LePage, did not take it lying down. He was put into office by all the Tea Party people and really has been against this health care thing for a long time. So how dare him speak against it when it's finally backed by the Supreme Court and basically shoved down our throats? The governor finished his radio address for outlining ideological opposition to health care law, which he said raises taxes, cuts Medicare for the elderly, gets between patients and doctors, costs trillions of taxpayer dollars, and kills jobs. Even more disheartening is that a reviving American dream just became nearly impossible to do. "We are now a nation which supports dependency rather than independence," LePage said. "Instead of encouraging self-reliance, we're encouraging people to rely on government." Oh, but that's extreme. You can't say Gestapo. Or is it? It was just last week, it was in the Daily Caller, that the USDA wants to combat, quote, mountain pride and make sure they enroll more and more people on food stamps. Yes, they're literally going around to communities and encouraging people to get on the dole, to sign up for food stamps, explaining to people not already on the system that they need to sign up for food stamps, that they're eligible, and that they should get over the pride of thinking they don't want government to support them. And it's this whole mind shift from you try to live your own life, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, you're basically free, you have a limited government to fight those external threats, blah, 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 war. Now it's the government in 2012 encroaching on all your life. They demand your health care be taken care of through the IRS system, that you be taxed for it, and that they ration your care, decide when and where you will get certain treatments, and you'll just be on the allopathic Rockefeller healthcare system anyway. And you got to be on food stamps now. You can't grow your own food. You can't try to make it as your own as a family, even if you don't have that much money. No, you need to be on food stamps too. And so they're paying their employees through the USDA and the people working with these programs to encourage a greater dependency on food stamps. What does that tell you about the system we're building? It's just incredible. It's, you could call it communism, but it's a larger collectivism and happened under all these dictatorial systems, and they've really brought it here in America, as awful as that is. Meanwhile, the UN envoy admits international efforts to find a political situation in Syria have failed. Kofi Annan, the special UN envoy, who used to be the head of the UN and all these other systems, acknowledged in an interview published Saturday that the international community's efforts to find a political solution to the escalating violence in Syria have failed. So now there's no other choice but basically to initiate a war. Well, maybe it has a lot to do with the Syrian opposition rejecting the UN's transition deal last week. You get the Syria National Council, their spokeswoman, Basma Kodmani. She's the one who attended Bilderberg just back at the beginning of June, the end of May there. And she has rejected as a farce this transition deal, saying nothing can be done with Assad still in power. And sure, he's a bad guy, monster, but isn't the system they're using, bringing in Al-Qaeda and strong-armedly take over countries like one domino after another to get to their central enemies and create a wider war, isn't that more evil? Isn't it just a see-through farce that is always on the pretext of the wrongs Assad has done, but no one in the West can do anything wrong, even when they bring in those awful people? It's just a big joke, and here we have another step towards war, very predictable. Predictably, they make it appear as if all the diplomatic things have been done. Those channels have been exhausted. No one can agree to a deal. This thing just won't work. And so now we have to look at what can be done to intervene, to save lives in Syria. They care so much about the little people, they just have to get that domino. I don't know what else to say. They've got another defection in the Syrian military. They're trying to say this is the biggest ever, and this is going to change the tide. And basically, it's all just a psyop to get Assad out of there and to psyop the public into expecting this intervention, thinking it's a good thing, even though they've done the same game plan over and over. Libya was not that long ago. We'll be back after this at the end of the break. We're going to see those great contest entries. We do need to stop Dictator Obama. We need to get ready to stop Dictator Romney or whoever else it might be as well. But first, we'll turn towards the quote of the day. More news coming up after this. This is from William Burroughs. He said quite wittingly, "A functioning police state needs no police." He's talking about a whole revolution of the mind where you get used to the tyranny. It's just like Brave New World where you're taking the medication so you don't need guys with billy clubs and taser sticks because you like the system. You like your place in it even though you've been chemically conditioned for where you're going to be in that society. That's what a police state without police is all about. I think that's from Naked Lunch. I'm not sure. A very strange book and even stranger movie. And yet there is a lot of truth to it. How disgusting and kind of wretched that system has become, how predatory it is, and yet how functioning it is for a larger state that wants power and control over the people. We'll be back after this with more news. Stay tuned. It's the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm Aaron Dykes.
I thought it was a free state.
Dictatorial powers, you know, what he said he wouldn't do anyway. He said he was just going to be all over the
chair. Obama, going down.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Obama.
So, where you from?
Oh, Ron Paul.
So,
oh, see? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Only a guy with a head on his shoulders. You know what he's talking about.
I've got 150 posters of Dictator Obama, and I have 100 flyers of my top 10 all-time favorite Obama unconstitutional acts. So let's see what we can do here.
The Nobel Peace Prize winner has just announced and authorized that he has told the CIA that it can assassinate American citizens in direct violation of the Constitution's Due Process Clause.
The CIA can now assassinate any American, not only overseas, but here.
President Obama is proclaiming that the executive branch of the government of the United States of America has the explicit right and authority to murder American citizens.
There is a provision, apparently, that the federal government is using that keeps what they're really doing with the Patriot Act secret from Congress and the public. You're telling me the executive branch is interpreting this law in a way that we don't even know, and they say they have the right to do it just because they're the executive branch? So that's outrageous, and we know they're doing it.
You got to stand up any way you can. What other way do I have? Right. What other thing can I do to bring attention to the fact that this country better damn wake up to what's going on? And it's not going to, Judge, it's not going to end there.
The globalist eugenicist control freaks adding poison to your water and laughing as you get sick and die? Start purifying your water with ProPure. My friends, I've done a lot of research, and the best gravity filter out there, bar none, is ProPure, and it's available discounted at InfoWars.com. Its filters are silver impregnated to prevent bacterial growth. There's no priming required. It's NSF 42 certified. Optional fluoride filters can reduce fluoride up to 95%. Easy to set up and use. Doesn't require electricity. Purify water from lakes, streams, ponds, and wells. This filter system leaves in beneficial minerals, which is key. Save money by not buying bottled water and avoid BPA that leaches from the plastic. ProPure is the best gravity-fed filter out there. It's what my family uses. InfoWars.com already has the lowest price on ProPure. But if you add the promo code WATER at checkout, you get an additional 10% off at InfoWars.com. You can also call to order 888-253-3139.
Hi, I'm Christy Hightower, site moderator on Planet InfoWars, here to let you know how patriots like you are talking this week. Have you ever thought about the greatest risk to civilization biologically referencing? Well, user Rosso has, and in his article, The Greatest Biological Threats to Civilization, he references something like 20 different known biological threats, anthrax, cholera, Ebola, different things like that. He gives you fatality rates, symptoms, how it would affect you. And these are just the ones that we know about, much less ones that might already be developing against us. Then there's an article by Inlike Flint, The Universe, Ancient Astronauts in Atlantis. He starts by telling you a story from his childhood, how his fascination with aliens from above coming down and giving us technology from ancient civilizations ago, and how the in the know now are holding this information, withholding it from us. So that being said, it leads me into our last article, Food Stamps, President Obama Wants You on Food Stamps. This is actually a great article for many reasons. Melissa Melton is actually one of the reporters from the reporter contest. And this article was featured on the InfoWars homepage, and it's still a featured article. She talks about how skyrocketing food stamp usage during Obama's presidency, something like 100%. She gives great references. She is well-spoken and had a great response to her article. So that being said, we are looking out for great articles, well-written, well-referenced. So keep up the good work, you patriots out there. And that being said, also, some other things on Planet InfoWars, you can find the deal of the day, like in the Fed t-shirt. We had that on sale for $12.95 in the sidebar, and that's only on Planet InfoWars. Other things like groups that you can join, get active, create missions, meet people in your local area. So keep up the good work. We are paying attention, and thank you so much, Patriots. Till next week.
And we are back on the InfoWars Nightly News. We turn now to a segment on, well, what else? The health and freedom takeover. As you know, Monsanto has been completely worried about the ability for states, countries, individuals, stores to label genetically modified foods. They're well aware that polls have shown the public will reject GMO foods if they knew and if they were labeled. So what happens is states like Vermont begin to introduce legislation to require labeling, and Monsanto goes ballistic, unleashing campaigns to stop them. Why? Not just because it's one state, Vermont, but because that could begin an entire tidal wave of resistance against the rather evil company. At least other 20 states were also considering labeling initiatives. So Monsanto has, of course, struck back through a proxy. It's Stop Costly Food Labeling and other related organizations who are trying to put out the disinformation that if we were to pass GMO labeling laws, it would somehow stifle all of commerce, shut down the whole world, dogs and cats living together, because it would initiate a whole flood of, you know, illegitimate lawsuits and just people going after money, trying to shut down real companies really producing natural foods. It's just another scare tactic. What are they so afraid of? Not only do people deserve to know if they're eating these genetically modified frankenfoods that have been linked to all sorts of health problems, sterility, infertility, organ failure, obesity, all of it. It's just the fact that they shouldn't be able to put this stuff into our food without us knowing. But instead, they've said this would be like Proposition 65, the Safe Water and Toxic Enforcement Act of 86, and it would allow bounty hunting lawyers to go hog wild. But it's just not true. These GMO labeling initiatives have a lot of leniency, a lot of ability for companies to adapt and change. It gives them great windows, and it really doesn't even place liability. We should probably be talking about the liability of them spiking things into our food without telling us, but let's at least start with the labeling. Meanwhile, Bill Gates and Monsanto are going after milk. This was reported at SalemNews.com actually a couple weeks ago, but we never properly did it justice. Now, we know that the FDA is basically run by Monsanto's former vice president and chief lobbyist, Michael Taylor, and he has been going after everything under the Food and Safety Act that was passed back in January, signed into law, and really just started its enforcement here in July. I think July 3rd, it went officially into effect. So you've got Michael Taylor trying to prosecute raw milk. He's been initiating these raids to go after the Amish farmers, after the different food co-ops. But meanwhile, don't even label GMO foods. Don't stop anything. But this actually ties in with more than just going after milk, because Bill Gates, in his world of grants, in his world of he knows better, has another grant for the development of synthetic milk to deal with the immune system. Now, they've been doing research for years now between vaccines and gut flora, between autism and gut flora, between being unable to feed yourself and the balance between having healthy gut flora, all of which is your immune system. Your immune system basically lives in the gut, in the body, and all these unknown foods, the bad foods, not having enough of the right kind of foods, all target your immune system. And after a while, it reaches a tipping point. But instead of just controlling what we eat and introducing better foods. For instance, they point out yogurt here, and yogurt's great ability to produce probiotics, help the gut flora, help you live a healthy life, even if you live in some place like Africa and suffer malnutrition. No, they're going the other route, the genetically engineered route. Bill Gates has an $8.3 million grant to deal with immunity for people suffering malnutrition, and how they're going to put new synthetic chemicals in the milk by cows so that you get the immunity in your gut. Well, it just doesn't work that way. This is a centuries old. This is a millennia old. This is tens of thousands, if not millions of years in adaptation and development. So the gut knows what it's getting, how to receive it, how to use it. But they think they know better. And in just a few years, if not a decade, they're suddenly going to be re-engineering your immune system. Give me a break. But we know they've been doing just this. Scientists genetically engineering cows to produce human breast milk. That's all been happening in the news. They've done it in China, at the China Agricultural University, and other places. And if you connect the dots, you can see what's coming here. They don't want you to have access to raw milk, which naturally boosts immunity, which naturally gives you the things that your gut flora needs for healthy life. Same with a lot of other foods. Instead, they want to genetically engineer the milk you're going to get from cows. It's now going to be, you know, supposed to reproduce the effects of human breast milk, even though it's not anything really like human breast milk. And they just want to give you the compounds. It's all part of that brave new world. And it just makes me sick, the overreach of Bill Gates and his foundation cronies, who are effectively trying to steer the entire world's policy in regards to vaccines, food, and especially GMOs, where, of course, he has a major stake in Monsanto, a very major shareholder, and he, of course, runs the Agro Alliance in Africa and all the different pushes for genetically modified foods to be universally accepted, fast-tracked, and everything else across the rest of the world. And this is just another step in trying to take over your life in the name of giving you good health. It's just crazy. Now, in Wichita, a special case on fluoride, Travis Crank, this is a guy I see all over Facebook, constantly promoting activist items, and now they are launching a propaganda initiative to counter the Wichita, Kansas area propaganda offensive, as they now try to finally influence fluoridation in their community. For years, Wichita, Kansas has resisted the move for fluoridation that has otherwise dominated North America and much of the Western world. Now, they're the fourth largest holdout in the nation, and so there's a major offensive to try to get it in there. They've got local spokespersons, local celebrities, signature drives, and, of course, ads they've all bought on television telling you that it's somehow healthy for your teeth and your body to get water, to have your water fluoridated. Well, this group is, of course, trying to do the opposite. This activist group is trying to counteract that and keep the fluoride from being added. But they've had their videos removed, they've had spokespersons speak against them, and they're struggling to get a fair hearing on the local media and in these different meetings in the area. So they're calling on activists to descend on Wichita, make that a bulwark for freedom against fluoridation. Of course, as you know, towns everywhere are changing, reversing, rolling back the tide of that water fluoridation as the facts come in, and we have to stop it from being introduced elsewhere, or else it's just going to be more work. So it's interesting to see how the system descends and makes sure they get in their fluoride when they decide they need it, and how they don't want activists to have an equal voice on those issues. But that's not going to stop us from covering it here and at InfoWars.com and all across the alternative web. Now, Mike Adams was in studio today, and he has delivered an update on vaccines and all kinds of other health issues, the implications of Obamacare, and more. As you know from watching his work at naturalnews.com, here hosting the InfoWars Nightly News and on Alex's live radio show, he's just an absolute expert on these health issues. He's going to give you a key update in this video right here.
Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, with a special report for InfoWars Nightly News. There's been a lot of breaking news now about Big Pharma. Runaway criminality and fraud has now gone on the public record involving three different companies, two of which are involved in lawsuits. In fact, we're going to talk about tonight GlaxoSmithKline. We're going to talk about Merck and its vaccines, and also Pfizer. These are three of the largest pharmaceutical companies in the world, and they now find themselves steeped in controversy fraud, criminality, and lawsuits. We'll start with GlaxoSmithKline. This company just pleaded guilty to criminal behavior and is now paying a $3 billion fine. That's to cover both criminal and civil penalties to the United States government. And according to documents that surfaced in this investigation, which was a 9-year investigation by the U.S. government, GlaxoSmithKline engaged in all the following behavior. They routinely bribed doctors with luxury vacations and paid speaking gigs. They fabricated drug safety data and lied to the FDA. They defrauded Medicare and Medicaid out of billions of dollars. They deceived regulators about the effectiveness of their drugs. They engaged in off-label marketing, which is illegal. And they relied on these deceptive practices to earn literally billions of dollars selling potentially dangerous drugs to unsuspecting consumers. And all this time, by the way, doctors went along with it. So doctors were bribed. They were sent on exotic vacations to Hawaii and other locations like the Bahamas. And they accepted the money and they continued to prescribe the drugs as long as they were getting paid. Some doctors were sent on very high-paying speaking gigs where they say, oh, here's $500,000, go on a speaking tour. It doesn't even matter if there aren't any people listening to you on the speaking tour. Here's just $500,000 to just go speak. And by the way, on the side, keep prescribing our drugs too. That's the way it works in the pharmaceutical industry. Now we have proof of that. It has come out. And the company, GlaxoSmithKline, is on the record committing criminal felony crimes. Now, you may ask, well, how come nobody at GlaxoSmithKline is being arrested for this? Why aren't the CEOs being marched and having a perp walk, so to speak, in handcuffs out the building with all the media looking on? The answer is the U.S. government doesn't care about the runaway criminality of the pharmaceutical industry. They literally do not care. Government doesn't want to know about any crimes in Big Pharma. They don't want to investigate. They don't really want to do anything. They were forced into this settlement by whistleblowers who came out. There was just so much evidence they couldn't ignore it. That's the only reason it came to this $3 billion settlement. But in other cases, and now we're going to talk about Merck, the Department of Justice says, we don't want to know about it. We don't want to investigate. We want to just allow the scam to keep going. And this involves two virologists, former employees of Merck, which has a monopoly on the manufacture of the mumps vaccine in the United States. Merck has been granted a monopoly over the mumps vaccine by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA. This monopoly has existed since 1967, but it is dependent on Merck being able to demonstrate a 95% effectiveness rate for its mumps vaccine, which is part of the infamous MMR vaccine that many people believe is tied to autism, neurological disorders. So in order to create this 95% efficacy rate, according to the two virologists of Merck who went public with a False Claims Act filed in 2010, Merck actually fabricated its test results. And these virologists say they witnessed it firsthand. Merck fabricated it and then designed a second test, and they spiked it with animal antibodies. Yeah, the complete scientific fraud, medical fraud, according to these virologists, and then presented that information to the FDA to say, hey, it's 95% effective. See? Look at the antibodies in the formula, even though it was spiked with animal antibodies. Again, complete quackery and fraud being alleged by these two virologists. Merck then went on to threaten those virologists with being thrown in jail if they went public with it, according to their complaint. And Merck lied to regulators and defrauded the U.S. government, according to them, of hundreds of millions of dollars through Medicare and Medicaid fraud, selling a vaccine that was nowhere near 95% effective. Now, a couple of interesting points in all of this. Number one is that all of those people who actually got vaccinated with the mumps vaccine over the last at least 10 years, you may have been completely hoodwinked and fooled by it. You may have been a victim of quackery and fraud. But you can't sue. You know why? Because the government grants the drug companies total immunity for all damages related to vaccines. So they can sell a fraudulent vaccine that could even harm people and damage people, and those people who are victims of the fraud have no due process to remaining to them. They can't go to court. They can't have their day in court. They can't even get a refund on a product, even if it was fraudulently sold. Now also, there's the issue of Obamacare. Obamacare forces people to effectively do business with criminal organizations like these drug companies. So Obamacare grants a monopoly to the pharmaceutical industry over your medical needs and your healthcare needs. Pharmaceuticals, biologics, and vaccines, of course. Chemotherapy agents, other things that are used in medicine. So through Obamacare, you are now forced to do business with an industry that is just deeply infested with criminal behavior and outright medical quackery and fraud. Keep that in mind as Obamacare continues to kick in between now and the year 2016, where you're going to have to pay a fine to the IRS. You're going to be penalized because it's a new tax that's going to go to the insurance companies, and that money then goes to the drug companies that are engaged in exactly the type of fraud and criminality that we are describing here today. How's that for a system of medicine? You can't even call it socialized medicine. It should just be called fraud medicine, junk medicine, quackery medicine. Complete mafia medicine might be a better term for it. But the situation with Merck gets even more interesting. It's not just these two virologists that came out and talked about it. It's also that the company is being sued by a healthcare provider named Chatham. And details of that lawsuit will be presented here in just a second. But first, check out this interview we did earlier today with John Rappaport, who has comments about the Merck faked vaccine situation. Check it out.
The Chatham Primary Care has filed a lawsuit against Merck now, claiming that they were defrauded by Merck because of a, quote, decade-long scheme to falsify and misrepresent the true efficacy of its vaccine. Says that Merck knows and has taken affirmative steps to conceal that its mumps vaccine is far less than 95% effective and that this has been going on since at least 1999. Wow, this is a long-standing, ongoing situation. So are you familiar with the details of that lawsuit, John, or do you have any comments on it?
Well, the comment that I have is I'm happy to hear this because since the Department of Justice will do absolutely nothing to prosecute the people at Merck responsible for this, then if you can pile on with more lawsuits, that's a good thing. If you can get different groups who were actually defrauded, just like this one was, to take them to court and say, well, we were defrauded too, so pay us out as well. Because what this is saying, basically, Mike, is if a drug company defrauds intentionally 100 million people, those 100 million people deserve something in return.
Yes, at least a refund. More punitive damages.
Yeah, quite a bit more because they were injected with something. It wasn't like you bought a toaster and it didn't toast the bread, you know.
It did probably you toast their brain a little bit, though.
Right. So, yeah, you would deserve
stealth viruses. Well, yeah, but see, this is the big picture here is that there's immunity granted to the drug companies over vaccines. So you can't have a class action lawsuit now. So the government has created a situation where there is no justice for the fraud that's now emerging from the vaccine industry. There is no justice.
Well, that's what they did. That's how they covered themselves. The vaccine companies went to the government 10 years ago, a little bit more, and said, well, guys, basically, we're going to get out of the vaccine business because there's too many lawsuits and we can't make any money. And so there were meetings, they sat down in a room and they started to hammer out this whole kind of agreement and the government said, well, you know, I mean, we got to keep making vaccines. I mean, come on. And the drug companies were kind of laughing up their sleeve and they said, well, look, if you grant us immunity from lawsuits and you create some kind of hokey little government payout system with a lot of red tape, then we can make a deal. And the government said, yeah, sure, why not? We can do that. And that's what happened. And that's why you've got this very limited window of opportunity to make these drug companies pay for what they do.
All right, that was John Rappaport with information about Merck. Now, continuing with the lawsuit against Merck, which has also come out, here's some of the verbiage that's in that lawsuit. It alleges, this is from Chatham Primary Care, it alleges that Merck engaged in a decade-long scheme to falsify and misrepresent the true efficacy of its vaccine. That it fraudulently represented and continues to falsely represent in its labeling that the mumps vaccine has an efficacy rate of 95% or higher. And that Merck knows and has taken steps to conceal that its mumps vaccine has, since at least 1999, been far less than 95% effective. And here's the big one. Here's the big one. That Merck also continued to conceal what it knew about the diminished efficacy of its mumps vaccine even after significant mumps outbreaks in 2006 and 2009. So between this lawsuit and the two virologists who went public with their False Claims Act, they allege that Merck actually contributed to the outbreaks of mumps that were witnessed across the United States over the last several years. In other words, the very company that manufactures the vaccine that claims to be stopping the pandemic of infectious disease, mumps in this case, is in fact the very company that is causing the spread of disease. That's a pretty clever scam, quite a ploy, if you will, to sell more vaccines. You cause the outbreak, then there's a scare about the outbreak. The CDC jumps on board and says, hurry up, everybody go get vaccinated to stop the mumps. And they blame the non-vaccinated children for causing the outbreak, and that results in more parents taking their kids to be vaccinated, which then results in more profits to the drug companies for selling the very vaccines that are based entirely on fraud to begin with. Imagine that happening in America today. But that's not the end of it. There's one more company that's relevant to this discussion here on InfoWars Nightly News, and it's Pfizer. Pfizer is now being sued by many of the top retailers, pharmacy retailers in the United States, including HEB pharmacies in Texas, by the way, and they claim that Pfizer is engaged in an anti-trade conspiracy of sorts to prevent generics from coming onto the market that would compete with Pfizer's sales of Lipitor, its hugely profitable cholesterol drug, which sells about $9.6 billion worth of drugs in a given year. Yeah, really, almost $10 billion worth of drugs. No wonder they're trying to keep competitors off the market, according to this lawsuit. So if you put all this together, you've got GlaxoSmithKline now admitting to felony crimes. You've got Merck, whose own whistleblowing scientists say the mumps vaccine has been based on fraud for at least 10 years, maybe much longer, that it doesn't work and that it actually contributes to the spread of infectious disease in America. And then you've got Pfizer, being accused of anti-competitive, monopolistic, price-fixing, anti-trade practices that's trying to, according to the allegations, prevent generic drugs from competing with its blockbuster Lipitor drug. You put it all together, what do you get? You get an industry of complete medical fraud. It's a hoax. Much of modern medicine today is a hoax. And in fact, instead of helping you, many of those medicines and vaccines just harm you. But they convince you to buy them, and they convince states to enact mandates that force people to take these vaccines. We've got one more segment for you here from another guest, Sean Nemai, who we spoke to today. He's a former U.S. Army medic. He had an experience about how the vaccines are being forced on U.S. soldiers in the military, active duty in Afghanistan in his case. Turns out that an experimental vaccine for the H5N1 hoax pandemic was given to the military with instructions to have it injected into all the soldiers. But this gentleman, Sean Nemai, he said, well, he was in charge of over 100 soldiers over there as a medic, and he said, I don't want to give it to my soldiers, and I don't want to take it myself. And they threatened to have him fragged for it, yeah. Threatened to have him thrown in a locker with a live hand grenade because he questioned the sanity of injecting yourself and your men with an experimental vaccine based on a completely false pandemic with the sole purpose of enriching the profits of the very drug companies that are scamming Americans every single day right now in 2012. That is what's happening in America today. So check out this segment from Sean Nemai.
In 2009, I was in Afghanistan, stationed there for year deployment with the 10th Mountain Division. I refused to receive or give the H1N1 experimental vaccine at that time. It was received at the time with a little bit of distrust from my chain of command. But once I explained to them that it was an experimental version, I didn't feel safe giving it to soldiers when I didn't even have a pamphlet that normally comes with medications and immunizations. We had no literature.
Really?
At all.
So they just said, here it is, take it, and we're not going to provide any information about it. Just trust us, basically. Is that what they said?
It was generic labels on the bottles. All it said was keep refrigerated, and, you know, this is the dosage.
Wow.
That's what we were told about it.
So what caused you to have red flags about it? Why would you even suspect the safety of it in the first place?
Well, part of the biggest reason that I questioned it to begin with was the fact that there was no literature. I'm kind of OCD about making sure that I read all the literature to all the medications that I'm supposed to give to my soldiers. When there was no literature brought with the vaccines, I requested from the Brigade Medical Services Office, you know, hey, you guys forgot to send the literature with this. And they said, no, there isn't any. Just follow the directions on the labels that are on the bottles, and you'll be fine. So at that point, I decided that it was time to look a little deeper into things. Found out that there was actually three different batches, three different formulas of the H1N1 vaccines that were being mass-produced for human use. Two of them were being distributed to civilians all over the world. The third one was being distributed to U.S. military members only. That also raised a couple of red flags.
Yeah, the special soldier edition with no documentation. So let me ask you this. How many soldiers were you in charge of in terms of their medical care?
I don't remember the exact number. It was a little over 100 of the U.S. soldiers from my unit and a couple of other units that were co-located with us, and then approximately 250 Afghan national forces that we did different missions in conjunction with them.
Okay. And where did you receive your medical training, and can you describe it just briefly so everybody has a background of your medical background, so to speak?
Yeah. After basic training at Fort Leavenworth, Missouri, I went to AIT's Advanced Individual Training, which is medic school at Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio, Texas. Spent, I think it was about 4.5 to 5 months there, learning not only an EMT civilian side of emergency medicine, but also the Army side of tactical combat casualty care, which is a little more, I don't know what the exact word would be. It's a little more goal oriented in keeping people alive, not so much keeping them pretty.
Well, keeping them alive is a good thing, but then, so it sounds like with the vaccines, you were concerned about the implications of that experimental vaccine on the health of the people whose health you were at least in part responsible for. So when did you start getting resistance to this, and how did that emerge in your experience there? What happened to you? Because I saw at one point you were being threatened with even being fragged.
Part of the preparation for the next upcoming deployment was we would have to go and have our medical records screened, get whatever immunization shots, eye tests, dental screenings that's needed in order to go overseas. At that point, I'd already decided up until that point that I wasn't going to receive any more of the immunizations, vaccines. I talked with my wife, and we were in agreement that because of our religious convictions, that it wasn't right for us anymore for me to be receiving these. At that point, I put in what's called a religious exemption request to basically give me an exemption from any and all vaccines, immunizations, prophylactic medications such as the malaria pills.
Yes.
I'm sorry?
I said yes, and now that's a normal accepted procedure in the military, so why wasn't that accepted in the chain of command? What happened there?
Well, part of the problem is that sort of an exemption is only approval denial up until company level commander. It doesn't have to go any higher than him. And my company level commander in a cavalry unit, it's called a troop, I don't think he liked me very much.
I have an affidavit here. Oh. I'm sorry, your voice cut out.
That's okay. I was just saying that there had been a history between him and myself during different training exercises and such. And I really don't think he liked me very much. So he had already made up his mind before he had looked into the regulations and whether or not I was even allowed to request such a thing. I'm pretty sure he already made up his mind that he was going to deny it and give me an order to go get shots.
So it sounds like this was a punitive, vengeful type of action targeted to you personally because of personal disagreements. Is that a fair characterization?
I would definitely say so, yes.
And then I have an affidavit here, sworn affidavit by a sergeant medic team leader, Anthony Comow, who supports your story and says that this captain began to refer to you as, quote, bacteria man, and said they want to throw you inside a wall locker and throw a hand grenade in with you.
Correct.
So that's a pretty serious accusation and a serious crime in the military, if true, indeed.
Yes. Even the act of stating anything about fratricide is actually a crime. It's against the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
All right, so there you have it. That's a wrap of the situation. We live in an extraordinary time of incredible deception from the big pharmaceutical companies and the vaccine manufacturers. The bottom line in all of this is those of us who were skeptical of the vaccines, we have been vindicated. So if you've been saying no to vaccines, if you've been trying to educate people or even perhaps argue with your ignorant doctor about vaccines, you were right all along. Vaccines are fraud, drug companies are criminals, and they're engaged in anti-competitive, monopolistic trade practices to simply bilk consumers for as much profit as they can get away with. And to a large extent, the U.S. government, now infected with rampant, deep criminality, is letting them get away with it. You're not going to get this report on any mainstream news source, but it is the truth, and it is backed up by evidence. Thank you for joining us here on InfoWars Nightly News. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, with a special report for InfoWars Nightly News. Take care.
That's it for tonight's InfoWars Nightly News, ladies and gentlemen. Just keep watching, and whatever you do, start fighting somewhere on any front. We're totally surrounded. Anything you do to advance the cause of freedom, to roll back tyranny, can only help us, and we need your help so badly. Join the Stop Obama Dictator Contest. Subscribe to PrisonPlanet.tv. Start a page at PlanetInfoWars.com. Whatever you do, get the word out and do it soon. We'll be back tomorrow.